إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session for this month of Ramadan and final session for the month of Ramadan, which reminds us that the days remaining in this month of Ramadan are few, and likewise the important nights from the last 10 nights of Ramadan remaining are also very few. Tonight, the topic that we want to talk about is from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, from his book, Lata'if Al-Ma'arif. And the topic is entitled, Fi Dhikri Al-Ashri Al-Awakhiri Min Ramadan. Yani mention of the last 10 days or nights of Ramadan. Previously, in the first three sessions during this month of Ramadan, we talked about the importance of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this is something that Allah has commanded us with, and He has also legislated for us a system which, if followed, a believer would find himself constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And from amongst what we mentioned during those sessions of great importance is that the dhikr of Allah is of two types. Primarily, as Ibn Rajab said, that which is obligatory and that which is voluntary. Is there anybody that wasn't here during the last two sessions? Was not here? So those who are not here, excused. But those who were here, yani we said that the dhikr of Allah that He has legislated is of two types, that which is obligatory and that which is voluntary. That which is obligatory, he said, is what? What is the obligatory dhikr? Naam. The salat. Yani which salat? The five obligatory, the daily obligatory prayers. The five daily obligatory prayers. He said this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon us to remember Him by the establishment of these five prayers. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran in many places. From amongst them, He said, Aqim as-salat li-dhikri. Establish the prayer, meaning the five congregational prayers for my remembrance. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says also that from that which is legislated in order to enable the believers to remember Allah is that which is not obligatory, it's voluntary, it's nafila, meaning that which is extra above and beyond the obligatory duty of remembering Allah. And he said that this remembrance that is voluntary or nafila, he said it is of two types. What are they? One of them at least. Now. Okay, that which is similar to the obligatory prayers. Yani other prayers, but they are not obligatory. Voluntary prayers. And the second type, other than the prayers, which are not obligatory. Yani legislated dhikr of Allah from that which is nafila. It's extra, above and beyond that which is obligatory. So there's the salat, the prayers that are not obligatory. And then there's also, yani the dhikr ala lisan. Yani the dhikr of Allah by the tongue. Yani which originates in the heart and is expressed in one's obedience to Allah's commands and prohibitions. So, yani just to summarize quickly so that for the benefit of those who were not here during those sessions, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said that the voluntary dhikr is of two types, salat and dhikr on the tongue. He said the salat are the ratiba, yani the voluntary prayers that are connected to the five obligatory prayers. Those prayers which are connected to the five obligatory prayers, he said those are nafila, they are extra, but they are also legislated for the remembrance of Allah. And they are of three types, that which is before the obligatory prayer, and that which is after the obligatory prayer, or that which both is both before and after, as in Salatul Dhuhr. Now, then he said that then there are other prayers also, especially in the times in which there is a long gap between the obligatory prayers, like Salatul Duha, yani between Salatul Fajr and Dhuhr. Because of the length of time, Allah has legislated Salatul Duha, and also Salatul Witr and Qiyam between the Isha and Fajr prayer, because of the long time in between them. Now,
also the Salah when the sun is declining.
He also mentioned that it is praiseworthy and commendable that the Prophet ﷺ used to eagerly, diligently seek out performing prayer at the immediately after the zawal, yani immediately after the sun begins to decline from its height, yani from its highest point in the sky, yani the beginning of Salatul Dhuhr, the Prophet used to pray four rak'ah, and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah and other scholars hold the view that these four rak'ah are not the four rak'ah of Dhuhr, rather they are an independent, separate and complete, yani completely separate prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray at this virtuous time. Yani the virtuous time is what? The beginning of the Salatul Dhuhr, beginning of the time of Salatul Dhuhr, and before the Salatul Dhuhr is performed. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then, and he also said, yani that from the voluntary, extra, nafila, remembrance of Allah, yani besides those prayers that are voluntary, there's also dhikr of Allah, and they are of different types. And from amongst them, he said, the dhikr that's connected to the obligatory prayers, yani immediately after the obligatory prayers, saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, to the end. What he used to say, yani in different variety of ways that he used to do it. And then also he said two important times for the dhikr of Allah, which are legislated as nafila, particularly special important times, and these are the best times of the day for the remembrance of Allah, and that is the time of Asr and the time of Fajr, in which there is legislated Adhkar al-Sabah and Adhkar al-Masa'ah, the words of remembrance of morning and evening. And then yani the Shaykh also mentioned a number of other things from amongst them, yani the dhikr and dua that are connected to our daily activities, whether they're religious affairs or worldly affairs. Those are the things that are recited from adhkar or from adiyah, which are recited at the time of waking up in the morning or going to sleep, getting dressed, getting undressed, entering the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom, leaving your home, going to the masjid, and so on, to the end of the things that he mentioned. And he listed maybe like 40 or 50 different occasions in which it's legislated for one to remember Allah or to supplicate to Him. Now this is a summary of what we talked about in those two sessions. This is the system of dhikr of Allah that's legislated by Allah, from that which is obligatory and that which is voluntary, that is authentically reported in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tonight we want to talk about the last days or the last night of the month of Ramadan. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah, he says in Majlis al-Rabi'ah, yani the fourth sitting, yani this is from the topics that's related to Ramadan. He said, fi dhikri al-ashri al-awakhiri min Ramadan, yani the mention of the last 10 days or nights of Ramadan. And here, yani I'm going to note that he mentions five matters that he particularly wanted to focus upon and emphasize. And four of those matters are directly, yani clearly established in authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fifth of them is that which is understood from the practice of yani leading scholars, imams of the people of Sunnah from amongst the Salaf, whether from Sahaba or Tabi'een and those who came after them. Five matters. Four of them are clearly mentioned in the Sunnah, authentic hadith. And one of them is established from the way of the imams, of the people, yani of the early generations of the Salaf. Okay, so he begins by saying, fi sahihain, yani in the two authentic books or collections of hadith al-Bukhari and Muslim, it's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha dakhala al-ashru shadda mi'zarahu wa ahya laylahu. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ يعني عائشة رضي الله عنها is reported to have said that whenever the last 10 days of Ramadan entered. The Prophet ﷺ used to tighten up his waist garment and he used to give life to his night. Yani instead of sleeping, he would be awake in the night, engaged in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ And he used to wake up his family. He used to what? He used to tighten his waist garment and he used to enliven his night and he used to wake up his family. This is the wording as it came in Sahih Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the wording that came in Sahih al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. وَلَفْظُ مُسْلِمْ أَحْيَى اللَّيْلَ وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ وَجَدَّ وَشَدَّ الْمِعْزَرَ Yani in Sahih Muslim, it's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha with slightly various variant words where she narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the last 10 days of Ramadan came, he used to give life or enliven his night. And he used to wake up his family. وَجَدَّ وَشَدَّ Yani Jeddah is not mentioned in the narration of Bukhari. And this is very important in terms of the understanding of what is meant here. In the narration of Sahih Muslim, he said that Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَجَدَّ وَشَدَّ الْمِعْزَرَ Yani جَدَّ وَشَدَّ جَدَّ mean اجتهد Yani he strove, he made a great effort, a greater effort in those last 10 nights. وَشَدَّ مِعْزَرَ And he used to tighten his waist garment. In another narration reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في العشر الأواخر ما لا يجتهد في غيره. And this narration clarifies the meaning of the previous narration of Sahih Muslim, جد وشد. يعني جد اجتهد يجتهد. He used to strive, يعني make اجتهاد in the last 10 days or nights of Ramadan in a way that he didn't do in other than those last 10 days. Meaning that in the last 10 days he made a greater effort. And this is an important point for every one of us to look at ourselves and to examine our own effort. Is it greater in the last 10 days than it was in the previous 20? Or is it just the same? Or in many cases, and we seek refuge in Allah from such, maybe we have yani fallen asleep. At the end of the race, we have laid down and we didn't finish the race. Yani some people started out very active in the first days of Ramadan and then near the end, they died out. The Prophet ﷺ was the opposite. In the last 10 days, he worked harder, he strove harder, he made a greater effort than in the earlier days of the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yakhussu al-ashr al-awakhir min Ramadan bi'amalin la ya'lamuha aw la ya'maluha fi baqiyat al-shahr. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to single out the last 10 days of Ramadan for deeds which he did not do in the other days of the month of Ramadan. Yani he did some things in the last 10 days that he didn't do in the other days. And again, this is the point, yani for those people who want to really follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, it is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves individually. It is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves individually and see, are we actually following the Sunnah? Is following the Sunnah just saying that we are Sunni, that we are Salafi, that we follow the Sunnah? Or is it... Yani, is there some action that's required? Yani, that's in accordance with the Sunnah. This is what everyone has to look at themselves. We don't need to look at other people and judge them and weigh their effort. Rather, we need to look at ourselves. Everyone has to look at themselves first and foremost. Are we following the Sunnah? This was the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in these last 10 days, he used to single out these days to do things that he didn't even do in the rest of the days of the month of Ramadan. Do we do anything different in the last 10 days? Or is it just basically... Yani the same. So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, those things, those deeds that he used to do in the last 10 days that he didn't do in the rest of the Ramadan, he said there are many. فَمِنْهَا إِحْيَاءُ اللَّيْلِ From amongst them is enlivening, giving life to the night. Giving life to the night. Yani meaning that the night is not just full of sleep, but rather there should be some activity. The night should be brought to life. Ibn Rajab says, فَيُحْتَمَلُ أَنْ الْمُرَادِ إِحْيَاءَ اللَّيْلَ اللَّيْلِ كُلِّهِ It is possible that what is intended here is that he was active for the whole of the night. The whole of the night, from the beginning of it to the end of it. وَيُحْتَمَلُ أن يريد بإحياء الليل إحياء غالبه. And it is also possible that what is intended here is that he used to be active in most of the night. Not the whole of it, but rather most of the night. And this is very important because both of these meanings are possible to be understood from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Both of them are possible. That actually he used to spend the whole night in worship, or he used to spend most of the night. And we know that it was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to pray in the night. Not just in Ramadan, but throughout the year. For 1/3 of the night, or 2/3, or half of the night, or 2/3 of the night. As mentioned in Surah Al-Muzammil, two places in the beginning and the end of that surah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend a good portion of the night. 1/3 of it, or 1/2 of it, or 2/3 of it, even outside of Ramadan. What is the meaning here? Is the meaning that he used to spend the whole night in worship, or most of it? Ibn Rajab says, what supports the second interpretation, that is, that he used to, يعني, give life to most of the night. يُؤَيِّدُهُ مَا فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ عَنْ عَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. يعني, what supports the second interpretation is that which is narrated in the Sahih of Muslim, also from Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, that she said, مَا أَعْلَمُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَامَ لَيْلَةً حَتَّى الصُّبَاحِ. That I do not know that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever stood up in prayer for the whole of the night until morning. She said, I don't know that he ever did this. And she was one of the closest people to him, right? She was his wife. She was in the place where he slept. And she knows something that other people didn't know. This is the first matter. The second matter that he mentions, also clearly understood from the hadith, that is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yuqidhu ahlahu lis-salat, that he used to wake up his family for the purpose of performing prayer. He used to wake up his family to perform prayer. Fi layali al-ashr, that is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Dun ghayrihi min al-layali, yani he didn't used to wake up his family in the other nights of Ramadan to pray in the night. If they prayed, they prayed. If they didn't, he left them. But in the last 10 nights, he used to wake up his family. And this is good for both brothers and sisters. Yani, a man can wake up his wife, and a woman can wake up her husband. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And again, I can't emphasize enough the importance of us practicing this sunnah. Practicing these sunnahs. Yani, with the intent of earning the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, knowing that this was the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah commanded us to follow his way. He used to wake up his family for salat in the last 10 nights to the exclusion of the other nights of Ramadan. Qala Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, ahabbu ilayya idha dakhala al-ashru al-awakhiru أي يتحجد بالليل ويجتهد فيه وينحض أهله وولده إلى الصلاة إن أطاقوا ذلك. إن أطاقوا ذلك. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the great imams of the people of Sunnah, one of the most outstanding and distinguished of the imams of the people of Sunnah, about which there is no question concerning his knowledge and his integrity. He said, it is more beloved to me. Yani, he's not narrating a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but he is saying what is his view concerning the matter because of what? His knowledge of the sunnah. Because of his knowledge of the sunnah, he said, it is more beloved to me if the last 10 days of Ramadan arrive, and yatahajjadu bil-layl, that a person perform the tahajjud prayer during the night. وَيَجْتَهِدُ فِيهِ, and make a great effort in doing it. وَيُنْحِضَ أَهْلَهُ, and that he waken or arouse his family. وَوَلَدُهُ, and his children, if they are able to do so. And here, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah is bringing to our attention the importance of not just being concerned about our spouse, yani men being concerned about their wives, or women being concerned about their husbands, but also our children. And this is important that he mentioned this here, and we don't have the time to go into any detail concerning it, but we know from the sunnah and from the seerah that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to give attention to their children even when they were very young. Even before they reached the age of fasting, they used to encourage them to fast. And it's authentically narrated that some of them used to give their children something to play with, to distract them during the days of Ramadan when they were encouraging them to fast. If they didn't want to fast, if they wanted to eat, they would distract them by giving them something to occupy them so that they would continue to fast, even though they were children who had not yet reached the age that requires them to fast. And this is an important point. Some of us neglect our children and we say we'll wait until they reach the age of maturity, until they reach the age of responsibility. And before that, they are not even practicing Islam. They are children, they don't know any better. If we don't, yani encourage them to practice Islam, to dress them properly when they are children, to encourage them to fast before it's required, to encourage them to pray when they are how old? 7 years old. And they are not required to pray at 7 years old. If we don't do that, they themselves don't know any better. He said, it is more beloved to me, Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great imams of the people of Sunnah, that if the last 10 days of Ramadan arrive, that a person should be performing the night prayer, tahajjud, and they should be making every effort in it, and they should wake up their family and wake up their children for the salat, yani if they are able to do so, yani if the children are able to get up and pray. وَقَدْ صَحَّ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَطْرُقُ فَاطِمَةَ وَعَلِيًّا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا لَيْلًا فَيَقُولُ لَهُمَا أَلَا تَقُومَانِ فَتُصَلِّيَانِ. Yani hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet used to go to Ali and Fatima رضي الله عنهما. He used to knock at their door and wake them up and say, will the two of you not stand up and pray? Will you not get up and pray? Yani you don't have to go to your children's home. If they are married, you can call them on the telephone and tell them to get up and pray. But how can you tell them to get up and pray if you didn't get up yourself to pray? Naam. وَكَانَ يُوقِذُ عَائِشَةَ بِاللَّيْلِ إِذَا قَضَى تَحَجُّدَهُ وَأَرَادَ أَنْ يُوتِرَ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he used to wake up Aisha during the night. If he had completed his tahajjud prayer and he intended to perform the witr near the end of the night, then he would awaken her. He would awaken her to make sure that the night didn't completely escape without the performance of some worship. وَوَرَدَ تَرْغِيبُ فِي إِقَاذِ أَحَدِ الزَّوْجَيْنِ صَاحِبَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَنَضَحِ الْمَاءِ فِي وَجْهِ. And it has also been narrated, the encouragement to wake up one's spouse for the performance of salat and to sprinkle some water in the face of the sleeper. That a woman, if her husband is sleeping and she's up performing the salat, to wake up her husband and sprinkle some water in his face, gently. And a man the same. Yani if he's awake praying and his wife is sleeping, to wake your spouse and encourage them to pray. وفي المُوَطَّى, يعني the muwatta of Imam Malik رحمه الله, أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه كان يصلي من الليل ما شاء الله أن يصلي حتى إذا كان نصف الليل أيقظ أهله للصلاة ويقول لهم الصلاة الصلاة ويتلو هذه الآية وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. يعني سورة الطه 20th surah 132nd ayat. And it is also reported from Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, one of the four khalifas, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. And it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. Yani that is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. It's reported in the Muwatta that Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, he used to pray in the night as much as Allah willed for him to pray. Until, if it came to half of the night, then he would wake up his family for the salat and he would say to them, as-salat, as-salat. And then he would recite to them this ayah from Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ يعني command your family بالصلاة. Command them with salat and be patient upon doing it. Yani upon performing the salat yourself first, as some of the scholars of tafsir said in this ayat, be patient upon doing it, upon performing the salat yourself. Because how can you command your family to get up and pray if you're not getting up yourself to pray? Be patient upon doing it, and be patient upon enjoining the good upon your family. And all of these are proofs from the Sunnah and from the Sahaba and from the Salaf of the importance of this particular affair, and that is that a person get up in the night, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and that they also be concerned about their spouse and about their children. وكانت امرأة حبيب ابن محمد تقول له بالليل. And the wife of Habib, Abi Muhammad, she used to say to him at night, قد ذهب الليل وبين أيدينا طريق بعيد وزادنا قليل وقوافل الصالحين قد سارت قدامنا ونحن قد بقينا. يعني a woman from the righteous people of the Salaf, the wife of Habib ibn Muhammad, she used to say to him during the night has gone and in front of us is a distant road, a long road, tariqun ba'idun, we have a long distance to travel, wazaduna qalilun, and our provisions are little, we don't have a lot of provisions. Yani the prayer in the night is a means of provisions for the journey of the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The road is distant and the provisions are few, and the caravans of the righteous have gone on ahead of us and we are remaining here. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned some poetry, and as some of you know, I'm not really any fond of poetry too much, but the meaning of it is something like, yani the one who is sleeping in the night, how much will you sleep? Yani the appointed time has come near, so take from the night and its time a regular amount of worship. So that you don't sleep the whole night. وَمَنْ نَامَ حَتَّى And whoever slept until the whole night has passed them by, then they will not reach the station. They will not, arrive. Something like that. That's a rough translation of this poetry. Okay, this is the end of the second matter that Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions. The third matter he mentions, that is praying in the night and waking up one's family, including one's spouse and one's children, being serious about this, being an example for one another, and being a reminder and a support and a helper with one's family. وَمِنْهَا From amongst those things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan that he didn't used to do in the other nights of Ramadan. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَشُدُّ مِعْزَرَ الْمِعْزَرَ يعني he used to tighten his waist garment. وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي تَفْسِيرِهِ But the scholars differed concerning what is the meaning of this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha. What does this actually mean? So some of them said the meaning is that this is a kinaya, yani an indirect expression that's used to refer to something without being explicit in what you are saying. Yani, it's a soft, kind, easy, nice way of saying something that you don't want to say, you don't speak about explicitly. This is kinaya an shiddat an shidda wa jiddihi wa ijtihadihi fil ibadah. Yani, this is an expression that was used to express his great effort that he made, his striving in the worship, during those last 10 nights of Ramadan, that he used to make a greater effort in his worship. And then he says, this is, yani, as it is said, yani, in Arabic, فلان يشد وسطه ويسعى في كذا, yani, that a person makes a greater effort, yani, in what he is doing, and he's striving in that matter. This, he says, this meaning, that the meaning of it is that this represents the Prophet ﷺ just striving harder in worship. He said this meaning, fihi nadhar. Yani, fihi nadhar means what? Yani, it's, huh? I'm sorry, what did you say? Not regret. No, fihi nadhar means that it's something that requires to take a look at it. Yani, it's not so clear that this is really what's correct. That's what he means by that. What is intended, fihi nadhar, yani, it's questionable. It's questionable. This opinion, he said, fihi nadhar, it's questionable. فَإِنَّهَا قَالَتْ, because in another, in a hadith, yani, that was mentioned earlier, the narration of Muslim, she said, جَدَّ وَشَدَّ الْمِعْذَرَ فَعَتَفَتْ شَدَّ الْمِعْذَرَ عَلَى جِدِّهِ. Yani, in the narration of Imam Muslim of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, not only did he tighten his mi'zara, but also he shadda, yani, ijtahada. So that means that she mentioned he did two things. She connected those two things together. They are not the same. Yani, jadda, ijtahada is not the same as, yani, shadda al-mi'zara. It's not the same. Yani, that's what he's saying here, that if she said in that narration that he strived and made an effort and he also tightened the mi'zara, then that means these are two different things and they are not the same. So the meaning here wouldn't be that this is just a kinaya on him making a greater effort in the worship, but rather this is talking about something else. She already mentioned that he made a great effort in his worship during those nights, and then he did something else, that is shidda al-mi'zara, and he says that as-sahih anna al-murad اعتزاله للنساء. That what is intended by this expression is, يعني, وعليكم السلام, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to, يعني, separate himself from his wives. يعني, during those last 10 nights of Ramadan, he didn't, يعني, engage his wives. يعني, he left them, he abandoned them, يعني, for the worship of Allah exclusively. He said, Ibn Rajab said, that this is the correct meaning, what is intended is i'tizal, yani, he's separating himself from his wives. It would be ذَلِكَ فَسَّرَهُ السَّلَفُ وَلَأِمَّا الْمُتَقَدِّمُونَ. And this is the interpretation that the Salaf and the Imams from those who came before, this is how they, yani, mostly interpreted it. And then he says, to support this, that the meaning of it, that he didn't, yani, have relations with his wives, وَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ غَالِبًا يَعْتَقِفُ الْعَشْرَ الْأَوَاخِرَ. That most of the time, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to, يعني, be in i'tikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan. And i'tikaf prohibits a man or woman from having relations with their spouse. So this is a proof that during those days, he didn't, يعني, engage his wives. Because in i'tikaf, it is prohibited for a man or for a woman to have relations with their spouse. And this is by, yani, there are textual proofs for this, and it is also something that is agreed upon by ijma' or consensus. A group of the Salaf said in the explanation of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 187, in reference to this affair and this interpretation, a group from amongst the Salaf, they explain the saying of Allah, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَبَتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَبَتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Yani, the meaning here, the obvious meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yani, that yani, when a person is fasting, there are restrictions, but when they broke the fast, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ means now in the night, yani, after Maghrib, then a man and a woman is entitled to have relations with their spouse. فَالْآنْ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ and وَبْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, and this is the part of the ayat, and seek that which Allah has written for you, what Allah has decreed for you. Some of the Salaf said that these are two separate matters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in the nights of Ramadan, a person is allowed to have relations with their spouse, and then Allah is also saying, but also seek out that which Allah has decreed for you, that is the worship and the reward of worship in those nights, especially in the last 10. Yani meaning that in the first 20 nights, enjoy your spouse. In the night it's permissible to eat, to drink, to have relations with your spouse. But in the last 10 nights, a person should abandon that, yani for the worship of Allah exclusively. This is how some of the Salaf explained this ayat, إِنَّهُ طَلَبُوا لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. That the second part of the ayah, وَبَتَغُوا مَا قَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, it means seeking لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. It means, yani, engaging the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He made permissible the relations with women during the nights of fasting in Ramadan, up until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct from the black thread of the night, when Allah made that permissible, then He also amara ma'a dhalika bi talabi laylatul qadr, that He also ordered the people, but yani at least in the last 10 nights, then yani seek laylatul qadr, so that a person, the Muslims, will not completely be occupied during the whole of the nights of the month by enjoying that which is permissible with their spouses, and in that way the seeking of Laylatul Qadr may pass them by. And here also there is a point I need to note, I need to emphasize a little bit, and that is that even sometimes when something is permissible, Allah has made lawful for us certain things, a person has to choose between enjoying that which is lawful and yani doing that which is better for them. Doing that which is better for them. Even though yani, they have a lawful choice to do something, but there may be something better for them than that. And this is something that we have to think about here in this particular yani, occasion. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the people, along with allowing them yani, permissible interaction with their spouse, He commanded them to seek Laylatul Qadr bittahajjud min al-layl, by praying in the night, khususan, especially in those nights which it is hoped there will be yani, or there will occur yani Laylatul Qadr, yani especially in those nights, al-layali al-marju' fiha Laylatul Qadr, those nights in which it is expected or hoped that one of them would be Laylatul Qadr. So from this perspective, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to enjoy relations with his wives in the first 20 days of Ramadan, and then he used to separate from his wives and yani occupy himself exclusively, yani devote himself and apply himself exclusively in the last 10 nights to seeking Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani grant us success in yani achieving to some extent yani the goal of seeking out Laylatul Qadr in these nights that are remaining, if it didn't already pass us by. Yani there are 4 days or 3 days and nights remaining in this month of Ramadan, today being the 26th day, right? 26? 27, 28, 29, 30. Now, huh? 26. So there are 3 or 4 days and nights left in this month. Yani perhaps there may still be a chance to catch that which yani we didn't make the effort to catch before now. The fourth matter that Ibn Rajab mentions, وَمِنْهَا, yani from amongst those deeds that the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan that he didn't do in the nights before that. And this is the matter that I mentioned in the beginning, from the 5 matters that Ibn Rajab mentions here. 4 of them are clearly specified, stated in the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And the 5th matter, which he mentions here, yani in 4th place, the 5th matter, yani I said, is yani a matter that is derived from the practice of the Salaf, yani from amongst Sahaba and Tabi'een, from the Imams of the Salaf. Yani Ibn Rajab has noted this particular point, yani which he said, وَمِنْهَا اِغْتِسَالُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَيْنَ الْإِشَاءِينَ. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washing himself, taking a ghusl between the 2 Ishas. Yani the 2 Ishas mean, yani Al-Isha'in means, huh? Al-Maghrib wal-Isha. Al-Maghrib wal-Isha, naam. يعني الحافظ ابن رجب he's saying اغتساله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين العشاءين that he used to take a bath, wash himself between the two night prayers, that is Maghrib and Isha, between Maghrib and Isha. Maghrib is the beginning of the night. So Maghrib and Isha are the two night prayers. Here he mentions the saying of Hammad ibn Salama. And Hammad ibn Salama, yani, is one of the well-known scholars from the Salaf. Al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi mentions in Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala that Hammad ibn Salama was al-Imam, al-Qudwa, Shaykh al-Islam. Samia min ibn Abi Mulaika and Anas ibn Sareen and Thabit al-Bunani and others besides them. Yani that Hammad ibn Salama was the Imam and the example, the model, the Shaykh al-Islam of his time. And he heard from amongst the early scholars from the Tabi'een, he heard from Ibn Abi Mulaika, Anas ibn Sirin, and Thabit al-Bunani. Hammad ibn Salama, an Imam in his own right, said, كان ثابت البناني رحمه الله and حميد الطويل رحمه الله يلبسان أحسن ثيابهما ويتطيبان ويطيبون المسجد بالنضوح والدخنة في الليلة التي ترجى فيها ليلة القدر. يعني حماد, he said that these two scholars, also imams from the Salaf, yani from before him, he said Thabit al-Bunani and Thabit also, yani al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi described him as al-Imam al-Qudwa, Shaykh al-Islam Abu Muhammad al-Bunani. He was, yani, born during the Khilafah of Muawiyah, and he narrated hadith from Abdul ibn Umar and Abdul ibn al-Zubayr and Anas ibn Malik and others besides them. Thabit al-Bunani, Imam from the people of the Salaf, and Humayd al-Tawil. Also, al-Hafiz al-Dhahabi described him as al-Imam al-Hafiz, Sahib al-Hadith, wal-Ma'rifa, wal-Sidq. Yani, he was born in the year of 68, in the year of the death of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. And again, he heard from Anas ibn Malik, and he heard hadith from Anas ibn Malik, Al-Hasan, Ikrimah, and Thabit, Bunani, and others besides them. And all of these people are imams from the people of Sunnah, that Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, describes as imams, examples, models, hafiz, yani the people of knowledge, and the people of Sunnah. Hammad said, Thabit al-Bunani, and Humayd al-Tawil, they used to wear the best of their clothing. And they used to, yani, yatatayyaban, yani, they used to use, yani, scent, sweet-smelling fragrance. They used to put it on their body. Wa yutayyibuna al-masjid. And they used to also, yani, use some sweet-smelling fragrance to, yani, sweeten up the masjid, the, yani, the smell of the masjid. They used to do this in the night in which it was expected that it would be Laylatul Qadr. Yani, if they expected a night that it might be Laylatul Qadr, then they used to put on their best clothing, they used to put on the scent on their body, and they used to, yani, sweeten up, yani, the masjid on the occasion of what? The night that they expected it to be Laylatul Qadr. وَقَالَ ثَابِتْ الْبُنَانِي رَحِمَهَا اللَّهِ كَانَ لتميم الداري رضي الله عنه حلة اشتراها بألف درهم كان يلبسها في الليلة التي يرجى فيها ليلة قدر. And Tamim al-Dari رضي الله عنه, a great companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he is famous, يعني, for his narration of several hadith, including hadith about the Dajjal. Tamim al-Dari رضي الله عنه, he used to have a suit of clothing that he bought for 1,000 dirhams. That he bought for 1,000 dirhams, and he used to wear it when? In the night in which he hoped or expected that it would be Laylatul Qadr. And this, Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says, فيتبين بهذا أنه يستحب في الليالي التي ترجى فيها ليلة القدر التنظف والتزين والتطيب بالغسل والطيب واللباس الحسن. He said, from this it becomes clear that it is mustahab in the nights in which it is expected that one of them might be Laylatul Qadr, that a person wash theirself, clean theirself, that they be clean, and that they adorn themselves with the best of their clothing, and that they put on the best sweet-smelling scent that they have, yani that they do this, تَنَظُّفْ وَتَزَيِّنْ وَتَطَيِّبْ, by taking a ghusl, and by using tib, and by wearing the best clothing that they had, كَمَا يُشْرَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْجُمْعَ وَالْعَيَادِ, in the same way that this has been legislated for the days of Jum'ah and the days of Eid. In the same way that it is legislated in the days of Jum'ah, that a person go to the Jum'ah prayer, yani taking a bath, using some itr, and wearing their nice clothing on the day of Jum'ah and the days of Eid, in the same way, Laylatul Qadr, or the nights in which it is expected that it will be Laylatul Qadr, that a person goes to the masjid, yani having taken a bath, and use sweet-smelling scent, and wearing their best clothing. Huh? This was the way of the Salaf. From amongst them, Tamim al-Dari, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu, and from amongst them, from the Imams of the Salaf, Thabit al-Bunani and Humayd al-Tawil. Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab says, from this it becomes clear that it is mustahab in those nights in which we expect it to be Laylatul Qadr that we wash ourselves and scent ourselves, and that we wear the best of our clothing in the same way that Allah has legislated that on the days of Jummah and the days of Eid. وَكَذَلِكَ يُشْرَى أَخْذُ الزِّينَ بِالثِّيَابِ فِي سَعْرِ الصَّلَوَاتِ. And likewise, it is also legislated in the Sharia that a person adorn themselves with nice clothing for the rest of the prayers, yani for the other prayers that we attend in congregation. كما قال تعالى, as Allah the Most High said, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد, يعني سورة الأعراف 7th surah 31st ayat, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Bani Adam, take your zina, يعني adorn yourself with nice clothing, عند كل مسجد, يعني at every time of prayer, يعني every time a person goes to the masjid for the performance of prayer, you should wear some nice clothing. More so on the day of Eid and on the day of Jum'ah, and likewise on the nights in which it is expected that a person is going to the masjid to pray, yani during the nights that is expected to be Laylatul Qadr. And it is mentioned in a hadith from Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. He mentions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, لا يغتسل رجل يوم الجمعة ويتطهر ما استطاع من طهر ويدهن من دهنه أو يمس من طيب بيته ثم يخرج فلا يفرق بين الاثنين ثم يصلي ما كتب له ثم ينصت إذا تكلم الإمام إلا غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى. يعني that the Prophet ﷺ said in reference to the Jumu'ah prayer that no man will take a ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah and then purify himself. يعني يتطهر ما استطاع من طهر. يعني purify himself, meaning not just by taking a bath, but clipping the nails, trimming the mustache, cleaning the hairs from under the arms and the private areas, cleaning oneself to the best of one's ability, and then scenting oneself with whatever sweet smelling fragrance that you have in your house. No one would do this and then go out of this house to the masjid for the Jumu'ah prayer without separating between two people, stepping over people, and then praying whatever Allah has written for him. Yani before the Jumu'ah prayer, there's no legislated amount of rak'ah,
by praying whatever Allah has decreed for you, whether it's 2 rak'ah or 4 or 6 or 8 or 10, until the imam comes out to speak, and remaining silent. If the imam begins to speak, there's no one who does this except that Allah will forgive him whatever sins he has committed between Jumu'ah and the next Jumu'ah. And this hadith, yani, is an indication of the importance of the ghusl and purifying oneself and preparing oneself for, yani, the prayer that a person performs, yani, knowing that when a person is in prayer, that they are, yani, engaging in personal, yani, communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, Imam Ibn Rajab, he ends this fourth point with another point that also perhaps we haven't given a lot of thought to. At least, yani, specifically in this particular affair, perhaps we haven't given much thought to, and it is worth, yani, paying attention to this affair, yani, so that it became clear to us the importance of this affair and the need for us to act upon it. The Shaykh, he mentions, yani, after he mentioned the ayat about that indicates the importance of adorning oneself for the daily congregational prayers, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 31st ayat, he said, وَقَالَ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ اللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَيُتَزَيَّنَ لَهُ, that Allah has more right that we adorn ourselves for Him, yani, for the one going to the prayer. Whether it is the 5 obligatory prayers, or whether it is the Jumu'ah prayer, or the Eid prayer, or the prayer on the nights in which one is hoping that it will be Laylatul Qadr. He said that Allah has more right that you adorn yourself for Him, standing in His presence. وَيُرْوَى عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا, and this statement has also been narrated from Ibn Umar as a marfu' statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Shaykh al-Albani said that narration is sahih, yani attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah has more right that you adorn yourself when you stand in front of Him in prayer. وَلَا يُقْمَلُ أَوْ وَلَا يُقْمُلُ التَّزَيُّنَ الظَّاهِرُ إِلَّا بِالتَّزَيُّنَ الْبَاطِنِ بِالتَّوْبَ وَالْإِنَابَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَتَطْهِيرِهِ مِنْ أَدْنَاسِ الذُّنُوبِ وَأَوْدَارِهَا فَإِنَّ زِينَةَ الظَّاهِرِ مَعَ خَرَابِ الْبَاطِنِ لَا يُغْنِي شَيْئًا. Yani, the outward adornment of dressing nice will not be complete and perfect unless there is adorning of the inner being. And this is obviously a problem for, yani, the human being who has been affected by, yani, the attractions of the world. That people, yani, may try to look very nice on the outside, wear nice clean clothing, very well ironed or pressed, sweet smelling scent, looking very good on the outside without giving any attention to what's happening inside. Here Ibn Rajab rahimahullah is bringing to our attention the importance of not only looking nice on the outside, which is legislated, but what is equally important, if not more important, is what's happening inside. The outward adornment, it would not be complete and perfect without adorning the inner self by repentance, at tawbah, and inaba ilallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turning back to Allah with doing good deeds, yani purifying one's inner self from the filth and the dirt of sin. Because indeed, the outward adornment, while the inner person is corrupted, is polluted, is destroyed, doesn't benefit one in any way whatsoever. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 26th ayat, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. That, O children of Adam, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, we have sent down upon you clothing with which to cover your private parts and as a means of adornment, clothing, to cover yourself, two purposes, and also to adorn yourself. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. But the clothing of taqwa, yani the inner clothing of taqwa, that is even better. And this is from the signs of Allah that perhaps you may reflect, perhaps you may remember or be reminded. And then the Shaykh mentions some poetry again, the meaning of which is, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يَلْبَسْ ثِيَابًا مِنْ التُّقَى تَقَلَّبَ أُرْيَانًا وَإِنْ كَانَ كَاسِيًا. Yani, if a person doesn't wear the clothing of taqwa, of righteousness, then they will go about, yani uryanan, naked, even if they have clothing on. So it is not befitting of the person who wants to, yani, have a private audience with the kings. It is not befitting, except that they adorn themselves outwardly and inwardly, and that they purify both their outer and inner self. And this is especially so with the King of Kings, the one who knows that which is secret and that which is more hidden. And he doesn't look to your outward forms. Rather, he looks to your hearts and to your deeds. Yani, this came in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah doesn't look to your صوركم وأموالكم ولكن يعني ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Allah doesn't look, yani Allah is not concerned about your outward appearance, nor about the wealth that you possess. Rather, Allah looks at your hearts and at your deeds. So whoever stands in front of Him, it is incumbent upon that person to adorn themselves with the outward adornment, as well as adorn themselves inwardly with the clothing of at-taqwa. The last point that the Shaykh makes, and we'll close with this, and there's a long poetry, almost a whole page of poetry, inshallah, please excuse me from it. Whole page. The Shaykh says the last point of those things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do in the last 10 nights of Ramadan that he did not used to do, yani, in the first 20 nights of Ramadan. He says that is al-i'tikaf. Al-i'tikaf. It is reported in the two Sahihs, al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ya'taqifu al-ashr al-awakhir min Ramadan hatta tawaffahu Allah. That he used to perform i'tikaf, yani secluding himself in the masjid for the purpose of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he continued to do so until Allah took his soul. And in the Sahih of al-Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يعتقف في كل رمضان عشرة أيام فلما كان العام الذي قبض فيه اعتقف عشرين. Yani Abu Hurairah says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform i'tikaf every Ramadan for the last 10 nights, but in the year in which Allah took his soul, he performed i'tikaf for 20 nights. And Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ يَعْتَقِفْ فِي هَذِهِ الْعَشْرَةِ الَّتِي يُطْلَبْ فِيهَا لَيْلَةُ قَدَى قَطَعًا لِإِشْغَالِهِ وَتَفْرِيغًا لِبَالِهِ وَتَخْلِيًا لِمُنَاجَاتِ رَبِّهِ وَذِكْرِهِ وَدُعَائِهِ. That the very reason, the purpose for which the Prophet ﷺ used to perform i'tikaf in these last 10 nights, in which it is sought, yani Laylatul Qadr is sought, it was to cut off his being occupied with other things, with worldly matters, to cut off his occupation with his normal, yani worldly affairs. وَتَفْرِيغًا, and to empty his mind from anything other than, yani, what is in front of him, that is, the seeking of Laylatul Qadr. And to free himself up for the private communion with his Rabb, and with the dhikr of him, and with dua, yani, to commune with Allah, and to praise Him and to glorify Him and to supplicate Him. Yani the purpose of i'tikaf is to free oneself from your worldly affairs and to free yourself, to occupy yourself with communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His dhikr and dua and reading of Quran and salat and so on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yahtajiru yani hasiran yatakhalla fiha anin nasi fala yukhalituhum wala yashtaghilu bihim. Yani, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he performed i'tikaf, he used to take a mat to screen himself, to seclude himself, yatakhalla fiha anin nas, to get away from the people, so that he didn't la yukhalituhum, mix with the people, wala yashtaghil bihim, he didn't occupy himself with the people. Yani i'tikaf, the objective is to separate from the people, from your family, from your children, from your spouse, from the people who come to the masjid, to separate yourself. Don't occupy yourself with the people, rather to occupy yourself with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, Al-Imam Ahmed holds the view that al-mu'taqif, that the person who's in i'tikaf, لا يستحب له مخالطة الناس, that it is not يعني commendable, it is not praiseworthy, it's not beloved, that that person mix with the people. The person in i'tikaf, it's not proper that that person should be mixing with the people. Not even for the purpose of teaching knowledge or for teaching the Qur'an. Not even for the purpose of teaching knowledge or teaching Qur'an. Rather, what is better for him is al-infirad bi-nafsihi wa takhalli bi-munajati rabbihi wa dhikrihi wa du'aihi. What is better, what is afdal, than even teaching Qur'an or teaching people the deen. What is better is that the person seclude themselves, be alone, separate themselves to be alone for communion with their Rabb, for the dhikr of Allah and the dua of Allah. فَالْخَلْوَى الْمَشْرُوعَ نَعْمْ. Huh? It's not mustahab. It's not mustahab for him to mix with the people in i'tikaf. He's not saying it's haram, but it's not commendable, it's not good to mix with the people. Rather, what is better is to seclude yourself from the people. Yani, let me read what he said, okay, in case yani it's not clear. وَلِهَذَا ذَهَبَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُعْتَقِفِ لَا يُسْتَحَبُّ لَهُ مُخَالَطَةُ النَّاسِ. لَا يُسْتَحَبُّ, it is not good. حتى ولا لتعليم العلم وإقراء القرآن. Not even if that person is a sheikh, is a scholar, not even to teach the people. Not even if it's for the purpose of teaching Quran. This is not mustahab to do that at that time for the mu'taqif. بل الأفضل له, what is better for the mu'taqif, is الانفراد بنفسه, that he just be alone by himself. Don't mix with the people. Be alone by yourself. وتخلي بمناجة ربه, and that that person just free themselves up for communion with their Rabb, for the dhikr of Allah and dua. فالخلوة المشروعة لهذه الأمة هي الاعتكاف في المساجد. So the khalwa, the seclusion that is legislated for this ummah, it is al-i'tikaf in the masjids, khususan fi shahr Ramadan, especially in the month of Ramadan, and especially in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله, as was the practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمعنى الاعتكاف وحقيقته. So here Ibn Rajab says, the meaning of i'tikaf and the reality of what is i'tikaf, he said it is قطعوا العلائق عن الخلائق لاتصالي بخدمة الخالق. Yani cutting all relations off from created beings, from the people. This is the reality of i'tikaf. Cutting all relations with the people. For the purpose of connecting yourself, اتصال بخدمة الخالق. Connect yourself to the service, the worship of the Creator. And the more the person strengthens their knowledge of Allah and their love for Allah, and their enjoyment of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that person would be caused to cut their self off, yani from the people, in order to, yani, connect their self to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely in every situation or circumstance. And then the Shaykh again, he mentioned some poetry, please excuse me from it. And yani the meaning of it, yani the people of the night, yani jiddu, make a great effort, because perhaps there are many people who are supplicating who la yuraddu, yani they are not responded to. Ma yakumu al-layl illa, yani nobody will stand in the night except the one who has determination and strives to do so. Oh, the one who has wasted his life in nothing. Catch up what you have missed in Laylatul Qadr. For indeed, it will be counted as though it is a lifetime. Yani if a person, if you have wasted yani much of your life, this is the chance to catch up. And then he says, yani qala Allah Ta'ala, and again I'm saying like this is the end of what he said except the whole page of poetry. He said, qala Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we have sent it down, meaning the Qur'an, in the Laylatul Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you to know? Yani, this is an expression that is showing how great is Laylatul Qadr. What will make you to know how great is this Laylatul Qadr? How magnificent it is. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Yani, that this night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Qadr, first, second, and third ayats. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned another ayah in Surah Al-Dukhan. Yani similar words to this, inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin, yani that we have sent it down in a blessed night, yani the night in which the decrees are made by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani to that extent. He said, qala Malik, after this ayat he said, that Imam Malik rahimahullah said, balagani anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uriya a'amar an-nas qablahu aw ma sha'a Allah min dhalika faka'annahu taqasara a'amar ummatihi أَلَّا يَبْلُغُوا مِنْ عَمَلَ الَّذِي بَلَغَ غَيْرُهُمْ فِي طُولِ الْعُمْرِ فَأَطَاهُ اللَّهُ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ was shown the lifespans of the people from before, or whatever Allah willed from that, and it was as though he considered the lifespan of his nation to be short, and that they would not be able to reach the doing of the deeds of the people before them due to the length of their lifespans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. And it is reported in Sahihain from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال من قام Laylatul Qadr إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stands, yani in prayer, in the night of Qadr, with Iman and Ihtisab, then they will be forgiven whatever preceded of their sins. And this is a tremendous opportunity that we have during this month of Ramadan. First, yani that whoever fasts this month of Ramadan with Iman and Ihtisab, with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah, believing that Allah has legislated this, and Ihtisab, with hope and expectation and anticipation of the reward of Allah, whoever fasts this month with that, they will be forgiven their previous sins. And whoever stands in the nights of Ramadan with Iman and Ihtisab, they would be forgiven their previous sins. And here even one night, Laylatul Qadr, if a person stood in that night, yani with Iman and Ihtisab, they would be forgiven their previous sins. And Ibn Rajab, before he mentions the poetry, the last line that I want to read from what he said, فَالْمُبَادَرَةَ الْمُبَادَرَةَ إِلَىٰ اِغْتِنَامْ الْعَمَلْ فِي مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ فَعَسَىٰ أَيُسْتَدْرَكَ بِهِ مَا فَاتَ من ضياء العمر. المبادرة, المبادرة يعني hasten, يعني rush, hurry in taking advantage of doing some good deeds in what remains of this month. Perhaps you will catch up on that which you missed from that which you wasted from your life. And then, like I said, there's a whole page of poetry. I'm going to skip and just mention this hadith, in which is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. We're going to close with this, saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the way, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, I remember Uthman, is Uthman here? I remember Uthman, our elder, upstairs, we were praying one night in this masjid, yani, it must have been 1978. And after the prayer, it was in Ramadan, he got up we were praying upstairs. He got up and he said, "Brothers, if this is Laylatul Qadr, you should be saying this dua, the dua of Aisha radiallahu anha." I'll never forget that night of him saying that. That's the first time I ever heard that dua. He said, if anybody thinks that they found Laylatul Qadr, he said they should recite these words that Aisha radiallahu anha has reported to have said, "O Messenger of Allah, if I found Laylatul Qadr, what should I say?" He said, "You should say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are the one who pardons and you love to pardon, so pardon me." And then the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported by Ibn Majah, this is what we're going to close with in the minute or two that remains. إِنَّ هَذَا الشَّهْرَ قَدْ حَضَرَكُمْ وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ مَنْ حُرِمَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلَّهُ وَلَا يُحْرَمُ خَيْرَهَا إِلَّا مَحْرُومٌ. Yani indeed, this month has come to you. In it, there is a night which is better than 1,000 months. مَنْ حُرِمَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلَّهُ. Whoever has been deprived of this night, Laylatul Qadr, that is in this month, that is better than 1,000 months, whoever has been deprived of it, then indeed this person has been deprived of all good. And there is nobody who is deprived of the good of this night, except that they are indeed a person that has been deprived. Some of the scholars said that this statement of the Prophet, مَنْ حُرِمَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ, this is an announcement of the honor and the khair of this night. Of the Prophet ﷺ is making us to know that this is an honorable night, a very important night that contains a lot of khair, in order to encourage the believers to seek it out and to achieve victory in this night, which is sought in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا يُحْرَمُ خَيْرَهَا إِلَّا مَحْرُومٌ, that no one is deprived of the good of this night, except they are indeed a person who has been really deprived. They said, نَعَمْ هُوَ كَمَا قَالَ, it is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How could it be one single night? تَعَدِلُوا الْإِبَادَةُ فِيهَا إِبَادَةَ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ ثُمَّ لَا يَرْغَبُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَطْلُبُهَا عَبْدٌ هُوَ وَاللَّهِ مَحْرُومٌ مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, it is said that indeed it is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there is one night, the worship in that night is equal to the worship in 1,000 months, and then there is a person who is not desirous of the good of that night, a person who is not seeking out the good of that night, by Allah, such a person is indeed deprived of all good, and we seek refuge in Allah from being in that condition. May Allah save us from such. May Allah grant us success and tawfiq in whatever remains of this month, especially in these last few nights, and to benefit from these nights to the best of our ability, to strive and struggle and to remember those things that Ibn Rajab mentioned here that the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the last 10 nights, especially, and that is, yani, giving life to those nights and waking up one's family and children, even if they are able, and yani, encouraging them to pray and adorning oneself and scenting oneself and wearing the best clothing in the nights that we think will be Laylatul Qadr. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.